This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part one of a two-part series, and today we're talking about red hot touch for her erotic power. How would you like to wake up tomorrow as one of those truly turned on people you see in the movies and DVDs? You know the ones who shiver the minute you touch them and who come at the drop of a Kleenex. The show is just about that, waking up. You can wake yourself and your partner up right now to be way more erotic, thrilling, and juicy than you ever imagined. So here to find out more is our guest for today, Jayeda. I'm so pleased to welcome you to our show, Jaya.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm turned on.
Wow.
Just talking to you, baby.
Yay. I love that intro there. That was very juicy.
Isn't that great? I love that, too, waking up. And I love your book, and I love your DVD. So let me tell our listeners and bring them in on all of this. Jaya is a tantric counselor, sexological body worker, DVD producer, and star. She co-authored a great book called Red Hot Touch with her co-teacher, John Hanauer. They also did create this phenomenal DVD series called Red Hot Touch. She appears on Playboy's number one rated show, Foursome, as a tantra expert, and she's also the host of her own show, SEX, with Jaya, a weekly radio show on Voice America. You know, I love the subtitle, Red Hot Touch, a head-to-toe handbook for mind-blowing orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wake ourselves and each other up, we get to have mind-blowing orgasms in the process. So today's show, we will focus on women and how to go into our full erotic potential. And let's get started. So, Jaya, what is your background? Can we just start there?
Sure. About 13 years ago, I got into Tantra, and that was really the beginning of a huge journey for me to unleashing my full erotic potential, and it was the thing that really woke me up. You know, you're talking about waking up to these orgasms and all those great, wonderful things, and really, you know, that was my moment of waking up. We talk about body epiphany and sexological body work, and I really had a erotic epiphany during my very first experience of Tantra. We were going around in a circle and just gazing into people's eyes and how powerful that technique was of just looking in someone else's eyes. And I remember just crying, and that release of tears actually brought me into a higher erotic state. So it all started with Tantra, and then it went from the Eastern, more of the Tantra philosophy, into sexological body work, which gave me a Western key. So I feel like now I'm sort of mixing the East and the West together, and I also was a massage therapist and really kept Tantra and massage separate in the beginning, but now as a sexological body work, I can bring those two together and really like to think of myself as a somatic wellness expert in sexuality. Although, really, you know, in sex there is no expert, because I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly unleashing my own erotic potential, because there are layers to it, and having new epiphanies at new levels of reaching that full erotic majesty.
Well, that's exciting. What is an erotic epiphany that you've had in the last week?
In the last week.
Or month.
I actually, last week, we were filming. I just had a baby. And we're filming my healing around, I had a major injury to my pelvic floor, which is, you know, here I am, the sex educator and the sexual wellness person, and I'm actually having an opportunity to learn in my own body some of these things. And so we're on camera, and the practitioner is working on me internally, and she was in on my, a scar that was on my right side, and it literally took me back into my birth process when I was having the baby, and had a huge emotional release And then all of the tissues softened. So I had another epiphany about just learning in my own body how healing then turns, like something that may be painful, then turns into great, exquisite pleasure. Like pleasure is behind things sometimes when you have a release like that.
Well, I really appreciate your sharing that with us. It's kind of an intimate and vulnerable thing there.
It was very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. Videoed about that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's something really tender about that, where when we can bring these things out into the light, that sort of transforms them, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. I definitely have been also about taking things that, you know, aren't acceptable, and bringing them into the light, things that may be shameful, things that may be painful, the shadow aspect. And then if we bring those into the light, it clears them, and then we can move into the yummy, juicy, pleasurable things.
Yeah, because as you said here, I am this great famous sex educator. What? I had a problem? You know,
right.
What
right.
Do? You go and you videotape it, right?
Right.
There's something kind of powerful about that.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, Tantra being something in the East and sexological body work as being something in the West, don't you think they're kind of blending, or do you really think that there's a separation between the two?
I see more and more that they're blending, and the more that I look at science, the more that I see, you know, like, for example, in Tantra, we talk about like, building erotic energy higher and higher and higher through non-ejaculation or through not having orgasm by riding waves. Well, if you look at hormones, then you find that during sex, there actually is a wave that's created where your body is producing dopamine, prolactin, oxytocin, and there's these waves that happen. And the longer that you hold off the orgasm, the less likely you are to have a dip, which is caused by the prolactin. When your brain produces prolactin, there's actually that drop that makes you feel tired after sex or sort of disconnected after sex. But if you keep riding on the wave, your body produces more oxytocin, which is that chemical of bonding and love. So it's very interesting to see how science is meeting some of the Eastern philosophy, and I'm such a geek about it. I'm very excited about researching all these things to see that it does match and it does meet up.
Yeah, somebody just the other day I read science is the yoga of the West and yoga is the science of the East.
Wow, that's a great quote.
So they're all kind of merging together, and I think people like you are kind of really amazing in what you're doing. So let's move on then. How would you define then, now that I think you're at that, your fusion, I would say, of those things, you know, we're in a new generation here. How would you define full erotic power for a woman?
You know, it's very fascinating to me in my own body, as I have learned, that there are layers to it, and it just keeps getting higher and higher and higher and more, like the orgasms are even better, they're longer lasting, my connection with something greater than myself gets, it's this thing that keeps building and building and building. So full erotic majesty to me is realizing that there is no end to your pleasure. It's like going as deep as you can into exploring what is physically possible, what is emotionally possible, what is spiritually possible through your eroticism. And reaching that level of embodiment, and by embodiment I mean a lot of women disassociate during sex or they go somewhere else. They have a hard time staying in their body when it comes to pleasure, and a hard time releasing fully into that orgasm or being vulnerable. And it's about having that embodied self where you are really aware of what's happening in your body and being very present with what's happening in your body and riding those waves of pleasure to higher and higher places, and then constantly doing the self work to peel back more layers, more layers, more layers, and constantly exploring what is erotically possible.
You know, I have to say that's one of the most beautiful definitions I've ever heard. That simply that there is no end to what's possible is actually what is your full erotic power or majesty. I'm just absolutely moved to hear that definition.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yay!
And the peeling back of the layers and doing that self-work. It's just a pristine, crystal clear image in my mind of really what it takes to wake ourselves up.
Yeah, yeah, waking up to the realization that there's more.
That's what it is for me.
And you do have to train your body to do that. You have to train your partner and you have to train yourself, don't you?
Right, right. That gets into some of the physiology behind
arousal. Wake yourself up in your consciousness by saying, I need to wake up here and I do want to come and shiver and wherever you are, I want to go to the next level. But then I think you do have to train your body. So it is that east-west kind of fusion thing again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's that catching up, you know. I actually started an energy work before I got into Tantra and all this stuff when I was like 16. I learned something called Reiki, which is a form of energetic healing. And one of the things I found fascinating about that ties into eroticism is it's as if, you know, you develop energetically and then your physical body actually has to catch up to that. So there would be like a cleansing phase between each lesson where your physical body had to catch up. And sometimes I feel that way erotically, like I get to this new plateau and then my body has to take a little while to catch up to where I'm at.
Right, right, right. Well, we're going to get into some details. We're going to pause and take a break. So please stay with us. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm here with Jaya. And you can learn more about Jaya at her website, redhottouch.com. I don't think I need to spell this one out for everybody, but I will say this. I'm going to encourage everyone to go visit it. They have the most incredible preview of their DVD on the site. I watched it this morning. I was so turned on. I like watched it two or three times. I didn't believe how beautiful it was. I was like, whoa, this thing is really great. I saw the whole behind-the-scenes thing, and that was great. It was so beautiful. So redhottouch.com. Please stay with us.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about women and full erotic majesty and power. Let's start with some of the things a woman can do for herself to come into her own total turn-on.
One of the things that I really recommend is exploring your own body. You know, the masturbation word for some women has just become sort of the bad, like, oh, I don't do that. But I really, really recommend women to discover for themselves, so then that way they can share with their partner what it is that turns them on. And one of the ways that specifically women can do this is by mapping their own body. And it doesn't have to just be the genitals. It can be like, oh, wow, I really find that my feet are an erogenous area for me. Or, you know, my own body, my knees, the space behind my knees, the popliteal space, is exquisitely orgasmic. Like, you can lick and blow on that area of my body and I'm writhing around. So so there's a little secret about me.
Yeah, I'll remember that next time.
And I'll watch out for you.
Or invite me over, one of the two.
So it's about mapping your body, you know, and I go through my body on a scale of 1 to 10, and it changes, and knowing that, too, like, depending on your, like, menstrual cycle and hormones and all kinds of things, but so it can be different on any given week or day, is to what is most arousing to you. And then you can do it, you know, on your genitals as well, as just mapping, like, oh, on the, you know, the 2 o'clock position for a lot of women on the clitoris, that's a hot spot. So knowing your own body then helps you communicate that to your partner by saying, you know, I really, really love this. And then that is one of the tools that having that communication between one another and knowing your body is one of the things that can really help you get to that place.
So, first of all, I love mapping my own body. Are there ways where it's easier to have a partner map out your body for you than you're mapping out your own body?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely just again, it's that communication with your partner. So if you're really able to go, okay, that spot feels really good when you do little circles, and to be really specific with your partner about it, then yes. But if you don't have those tools, or you don't know your own body, or you have a lot of numbness in your body, then I recommend being with your own body first.
So I think both are good, because, I mean, if I gave myself a foot massage, I don't think it would be the same as if my partner gave myself a foot massage.
Right. Yeah, there are differences between you touching yourself and your partner touching you, for sure.
But, so I think both are good. That's the truth.
Right.
How about witnessing? Can you share a little bit about witnessing? That's one of my favorite things. So I just love it if you tell us all a little bit about that.
You know, I can't agree with you more. I think that the role of the witness is so incredibly powerful. I really love having that space held for me of someone just watching me in my eroticism, and perhaps it's the exhibitionist in me, because and you know that a witness can be another person, or a witness could also be a camera. You know, I love using the camera as a tool to you know, either photographs or video to my own eroticism and really witnessing me. And then I love also playing the witness, and both roles are very, very powerful.
So can you define witness for us even
sure.
a little more? Yes.
Sure. To me, there are two different definitions of witness. There's the witness within yourself. So you can witness yourself doing like a self-pleasure, or witness yourself witnessing someone else. So there's another layer, and that witness is within you. So some people experience that witness. It's a non-judgmental person or feeling inside of yourself that is simply there to hold the space, simply there to watch, to observe, to be a non-judgmental placeholder where, you know, and then you have to watch the witness, because sometimes you think you're witnessing and then you notice yourself judging. So it's when the judgment comes in, you're not witnessing. But it's someone or it's something within yourself that is simply watching with a non-judgmental eye.
Okay, so you might have your partner, what, can you give us an example of, say, a partner witnessing you?
Sure. So if I'm self-pleasuring, say, I can have a partner witness me. Now, the importance there in that partner, again, is that non-judgmental space, because if that partner's over there going, oh, well, you're not really doing it right, or why don't you do it, or, you know, like talking, it's more of like they're sitting in the room simply being still, or being an eye, being a witness to me and my pleasure, non-judgmental. Now, another example would be me witnessing myself, which would be in my own mind, again, just watching myself. It's as if you're watching yourself on a movie screen in your own head.
You know, I think there's something so profound about that, because I think women have so much judgment about their own coming. You know, I'm not doing this right, I'm not feeling enough. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I especially, you know, if I start watching my thoughts, especially now since I've given birth, you know, I definitely have a little, things have changed. And so I have a little, like, my mind starts going into, oh, well, things don't look the way they used to, or, you know, my pleasure is different. My partner doesn't really think I'm sexy anymore. My body's different. And to watch those things and just watch them running through my mind is so powerful. And then it can help me actually switch back into my pleasure, because, okay, thank you for sharing mine. Okay, now I'm going to go back into being in the moment and with my partner.
And you just go back into feeling, right?
Yeah, into feeling, instead of sitting there judging my body or judging that I'm not coming or worried about this or that, or, you know, any of those things that take me out of the moment.
And what happens when you go back into your mind? I mean, and go into your body and your feelings.
Yeah, when I go back into my body and my feeling, then I start reaching those levels of pleasure, you know, and then I can get to another plateau. And sometimes it's waves, you know. Sometimes the thoughts come back in of like, oh, no, you know, I'm not good enough, or whatever my body is, da-da-da-da-da. And then I can go back into the pleasure, and then the pleasure increases. So when I am present with my partner and not in that place, and I'm in more of the non-judgmental witness, then I can reach those higher states, those body epiphanies. That's when those happen, is in those spaces where I'm really fully present.
Wow, so that's really beautiful. What are some of the things that you're going to be teaching on your new self-pleasuring for women? Are there any techniques that women can learn, or is it more of a psychological thing?
I think that there are techniques that women can learn. One is breathing. A lot of us don't breathe during sex or self-pleasuring, and we tend to hold our breath, and I'm one of those, I'm raising my hand right now, I'm very guilty, you know, 15 years of self-pleasuring where I didn't even realize what I was doing, you know, I'm like tightening my body and holding my breath, and, you know, my face is probably all red, and and I actually developed an injury from self-pleasuring the same way over and over again. So I highly recommend breathing. So breath work is one. And a very simple breath, this is from Dallas Erotic Massage, which is where you breathe in through the mouth and out through the mouth. And you're breathing in like you're sucking air through a straw. So, and then just letting the breath fall out. And I get high just like doing that a couple times.
I'm still doing it.
Mix that with self-touch, and okay. Then you know it really can get you into like a high state of arousal, because oxygen actually increases blood flow to the genitals and also increases all the neurons that are responsible for arousal, and the higher you're aroused, the more oxygen you need to get to those neurons. So very interesting that breath, you know, again, grounded in science.
That's a great technique, because also if you're breathing, you're not thinking about all those other thoughts, are you?
Right. You're thinking about your breath.
That's right.
Exactly. You're witnessing your own breath. So so that's one thing I would really recommend. And then I also recommend doing some kind of, you know, intention around it, around your self-pleasure practice, which also helps you sink in. So, like, I may intend that just for this time, I'm going to really be with my body. I may intend that I'm going to use this sexual energy to create abundance in my life. So having some kind of an intention.
Okay. So what might an intention be?
What I like to do is set something positive, so, and to also make it in present time. Like, I am self-pleasuring for world peace. There's a powerful one. I am self-pleasuring for my creativity, to expand my creativity today. I am self-pleasuring to get in touch with my body deeper. Some of those things are great intentions.
Uh-huh. And do you tend to have a set pattern for your pleasuring, or do you find that it's all over the map?
You know, I used to have a pattern for 15 years, like I talked about. I was in the same pattern, and it was the only way that I could reach orgasm. And then when I went through my sexological body work training, one of the exercises was to actually, every morning, I did like a self-pleasure ritual and just paying attention to how I self-pleasured. And I was like, oh my God, this is why I have this injury. And all these things started coming together. I've been doing this the same way for 15 years. So I highly recommend people to get out of their patterns. And the breath really helps. Breath helps you to get out of those states where, you know, I used to always use that 2 o'clock position, flicking back and forth on the 2 o'clock position, and I would just do that and hold my breath until I had the orgasm. Now I've found, oh wow, I have a whole body here, and I have a G spot, and I have, you know, I have other things that are really pleasurable that I can explore.
So every day is a new day in the Jaya household, right?
Yes. And let me tell you, I am so big on self-pleasuring. I used to self-pleasure 4 to 5 times a day. And,
wow, my role model.
So you know, that's why I you know, definitely developed injuries if you're doing it the same way 4 to 5 times a day. Now, you know, now I'm doing it more like an expanded ritual, like once or twice, you know, where I'm really taking time to warm up my body, really taking time with my body. And that was one of the things on the video, the woman who we led through, she'd never done Tantra, she'd never done any of this work. She was actually a porn star. And at the end of the self-pleasuring ritual, we had gone through like 2 or 3 hours, and she was crying, and I was just checking in with her, and she said, I've never spent that much time with my body.
Wow. I have this quick question. What's the range? How long might these ritual sessions last?
You can do a quick one, like 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then you can make it last all day.
All right. Well, I'm inspired. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I could go on and on, but we're going to take a break. I'm here with Jaya, and you can learn more about Jaya at her website, redhottouch.com, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about women and empowering them to full erotic mastery, and we're well on our way. And we're just going to continue on, and I want to talk about some ways that partners can empower their gorgeous goddesses here. So let's see. You talk in your book a lot about hands, and I wanted to just sort of dial back and just ask that one question. Why do you talk about hands so much? And I love what you said. So I just want to hear you say it, and then we'll go on from there.
I think that hands are the greatest asset in bed. You know, I really feel like that is just something that people really overlook. They rush to the intercourse part. And actually, you know, I was just talking with Joe Kramer, and he was saying how most women are not orgasmic from intercourse. That actually, I think it was around 70% of women prefer hands to, you know, having intercourse. So really learning, you know, your hands are amazing. They can do so many great things that we just overlook every day. Like if you think about what all the things that your hands do in a day and how amazing they can, you know, get into the G spot, they can get into the A spot, they can get into all these amazing places and internally, and they can stroke your face, they can stroke your erogenous zones, you can hold hands. There's just, I'm really in awe of our bodies, but I think our hands are the biggest asset we have when it comes to our sexuality.
Okay, great. So, what can a partner do to wake a woman up? For example, specifically erotically, ideas.
I think one of the things that people overlook are the erogenous zones.
Uh-huh.
There are two different types of erogenous zones. There's the cutaneous and the mucosal. And so the difference would be one is the skin and the other is like mucous membranes, like the mouth, the anus, the vagina. And there are different stages. So there's primary, secondary, and tertiary that you can awaken. And I think especially for women who are like 40 and above, that these are really, really important. I see so many women whose bodies start changing, especially when they get hit like the menopausal area ages, that they really need this nurturing, gentle way of awakening the body. And I think starting not with the genitals first, but with these erogenous areas of the body is really, really powerful.
So the lips, the nipples.
Lips, nipples, again, my favorite spot behind the knee, the gluteal fold, which is where the butt cheeks meet the leg. That's a really powerful one. The ear.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't know the nostrils actually contain erectile tissue.
Uh-huh.
So that little space underneath the nose is one of my favorites. The philtrum is what it's called. It's above the lip and below the nose.
Wow. Well, all kinds of good secret places, huh?
Yeah. There's
wow.
Lots of hot spots on our body. It just, you know, I think it often gets overlooked.
That's a great secret. Men and all other givers of pleasure for women, I want you to go back and rewind what Jaya just said, because I think that's really important. Go to those hot spots first. And I want to add, and it's not erectile tissue, but I want to add the feet. Because if a man will give me a woman, I'm pretty, you know, anyone wants to give me a foot massage.
Okay, you lick behind my knees and I'll give you a foot massage.
Yes, for me, a good foot massage will just, like, you know, I'll just go nuts. I'll be just dripping, like leaking, you know, coming, ejaculating. I mean, I just,
wow.
That will do it for me. So straight to the genitals from the foot.
Yeah, it was really interesting when I was pregnant. That's what happened to me. I could have orgasms from having my feet massaged. It was just the most, like, forget the genitals. I was all about, like, suck on my toes.
Yeah, right. Oh, right in between the toes. Oh, my God. Just some sort of connection. And like you said, it can change, right? So further research is always necessary.
And what great research to do, huh?
Yes. Well, lots, like you said, layers and layers, always no limit. Now, going to the genitals, because there are a lot of nerve endings there. In fact, most of all are right on the clit. But so what are some things a partner could do for a woman right in the genitals? And, of course, your book, Red Hot Touch, goes into tremendous specificity on this. So Red Hot Touch just came out. Amazing book. But tell us. We want to hear it from you in person.
Well, I think there's a lot of spots that are overlooked. Again, I think that we go straight into intercourse, or we think, you know, just the clitoris, or but that there's actually, you know, I call the clitoris the C-spot. Then there's the U-spot, which is their urethra. And a lot of people don't realize that you can have orgasms in the urethra area, and that the periurethral glands, which are on the sides of the urethra, which are responsible for female ejaculation, that stimulating that area, for me, that's just an exquisite area that often, you know, I find lovers aren't, they don't know it exists or that it's pleasurable. And going from the G-spot, which is, for me, it's right at the opening of my vagina almost. I can push my G-spot out. For some women, it's further back. And it's similar to the male prostate. But massaging that and then going out to the U-spot, that is like my favorite ever. So that spot, and then there's an A-spot, which is even further back than the G-spot, like 3 to 4 inches in. So there's a number of arousable tissue that's inside. There's actually 360 degrees of engorgeable tissue inside the vagina. And massaging all of that area, I just find that those women are really waking up. You know, we talk about waking up, and it takes a little while to wake up all those tissues and really dive into all of that. So waking up 360 degrees of engorgeable tissue and adding in all those little spots, the C-spot, the U-spot, the G-spot, the A-spot, and, you know, you definitely have her writhing in pleasure.
God, I'm getting excited. What time is my partner getting home? I'm going to have to do a self-pleasuring ritual. Fortunately, I have my little friends with me, you know, the dildos.
Yes.
I don't think I can wait that long. This is beautiful information. I have one more question, and that's you're a mother. I think we have a few mothers who listen to this show, if not many thousand. And so just briefly, because our show is coming to an end, how has your sexuality shifted, or has it, since becoming a mother?
You know, actually, I have had a very unusual thing happen. My libido has gone up.
Oh, I love that.
Becoming a mother. And, you know, I think part of it is the preparation that we took. We knew that postpartum I may have a drop. You know, my partner was with me during the entire birth. We were aiming for an orgasmic birth. We did a lot of prevention, a lot of communication around sex. And my libido has gone up, but physically, my healing in my physical body hasn't caught up. Again, my physical body not catching up. So I've actually had to, like I talked about earlier, had to go and get some work done because I had some pretty major scars. And my energy level is really high, which is another unusual thing. Usually people are exhausted, but I have tons of energy. I have tons of libido. And I feel like a very sexy mom.
So can I ask what kind of a scar that was? Was that kind of thing where they have to open it up a little bit to let the kid come out?
Yeah, I didn't have an episiotomy.
Yeah.
Actually, what happened was his head came out, and my perineum was totally intact. Everything was fine, but his cord was wrapped around his neck.
Oh, geez.
So they were like, you got to get him out. So I pushed really hard, and when I pushed, I blew out my pelvic floor. So scar was actually a tear from my vagina to my anus and then in. Went internally. So it was a pretty rough trauma. But you know what? It's gone.
And I think I am so thrilled to have you on the show, because you are modeling for so many women that life is full of trauma and life is what we make it, and that when we do the work on ourselves, we develop a kind of resiliency to cope with life. And it doesn't mean that we're down and out for the count when it happens. And if anything, we take what life gives us and we grow and learn. And I so honor you for telling your story and taking the, you know, whatever you got and shining and blossoming, telling your story and becoming a better, more turned on, beautiful woman for it. So thank you so much for
that. Thank you very much, Patty. Yeah, it's an opportunity for growth.
For growth and for sharing, because you are a role model, Jaya, and for sharing with all those moms and other to-be moms and women in the world about what it can be like to be a turned-on woman today. So you're really doing giving the world a great gift in that.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. We are bringing the show to a close. Fortunately, we have another show for men. They're so lucky. Yay. But for right now, I just want to invite you to leave us all with an inspiring thought to send us on our way.
Never stop exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Be an adventurer, you know, when it comes to sex, and use your challenges as opportunities to keep growing.
Beautiful. Never stop exploring and use your challenges. Well, thank you so much, Jaya. I've been profoundly moved and turned on.
Thank you for having me, Patty.
You're so welcome. So we are bringing our show to a close. I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website Red Hot Touch. I will spell it. redhottouch.com. And just check out the video. It's about 3 minutes long. It's a DVD, whatever. It is one of the most beautiful pieces of art. As a preview, she also has some other links, which we'll put on our interview page. She does DVDs for Liberator.com. She does DVDs for a bunch of other people. She's on YouTube. She's so gorgeous. That alone makes her incredibly fun to look at, and it's very educational and fun to listen to her. I had a ball preparing for the show, and I learned a lot. And I think this is a woman that we're going to see a lot more of, and we're so fortunate that we've had her on the show. She just came out with a book. It literally just came out last month. So redhottouch.com. The book, it's a DVD series, which is gorgeous. Any of the above, all from Jaya. We are so blessed. So that does bring our show to a close. And this is Dr. Patty. Please send me, Patty, email at patty@personallifemedia.com. One point I want to say, if you haven't already, if you want to get notified of new shows of mine, you can be notified by just going to personallifemedia.com/signup and you can get notifications same day or weekly digest. So that way you'll never miss a show as great as this show. So also, if you want transcripts of this show or other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please come to personallifemedia.com. And also, please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at the expandedlovemaking.com website, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.